throughout history, God's relationship with believers, as seen in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, centers on two key principles: your obedience to him and his acceptance of you. This relationship is uniquely personal. Each person's connection to God is individual. No one is saved by the works or the deeds of another person. A young adult will not be saved by the faith and obedience of their parents. It is a direct bond between your heart and God's heart. This bond is established through Christ and maintained by your obedience to his word. It is an individual commitment. However, we are called to support one another. We edify, we build up, we pray for, and we encourage each other to continually strengthen our individual connections with the Father. We must keep ourselves in God's love individually, and we must help each other to stay rooted in his love. Our main focus today will be in the book of Jude. However, for the purpose of illustration, I would like to consider the parable of the 10 virgins. Please turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew. We'll be in the 25th chapter, beginning in verse 1. Again, that's Matthew 25 and verse 1. Here, Jesus tells a parable about 10 virgins, 5 which did not prepare themselves for the long haul. And as a result, they were not ready when the bridegroom came. Jesus tells us in verse 1, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be comparable to 10 virgins who took their lamp and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were prudent. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the prudent took oil in flasks along with their lamps. Now while the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. But at midnight there was a shout, 'Behold, the bridegroom, come out to meet him.' Then all those virgins rose, they trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the prudent, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the prudent answered, 'No, there will not be enough for us and you too. Go instead to the dealers and buy some for yourself.' And while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went into him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. Later, the other virgins also came, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open up for us.' But he answered, 'Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Be on the alert then, for you do not know the day nor the hour.'" So we see here all the virgins, they came prepared with oil in the lamps. Their lamps were burning and their lights were shining brightly. But only 5 of them were prepared for the long haul. Obedience and preparation are what separates the wise from the foolish. The foolish thought that he would come before the lamp burned out. But the wise planned for the long haul. They wanted to make sure they were prepared. How many of us prepare for emergencies or the unknowns in this life? We stock up on money, we stock up on food, medication, or other things that help us just in case of unexpected challenges or difficulties. Allow me to suggest, brothers and sisters, we must be prepared for the spiritual emergencies. We need our oil supply to be overflowing. We need our lamps to continue burning for the long haul and through any storm. See, that's what the love of God does for us as Christians. God's love helps us to handle things that we cannot handle on our own. God gives us the strength that we need. He gives us the wisdom that we need, the peace and the comfort that only comes from him, no matter what storms surround us. This is why we must be rooted in his love. In the end, we will be one of two kinds of people. We may be the one who still has a lamp burning brightly when we die or the Lord comes. Or we may be the one who the fire goes out due to not being prepared for the long haul. We need to live in constant readiness. And this evening we're going to focus on being rooted in his love. We'll be in the book of Jude. We'll be looking at verses 20 through 21. Please turn your Bibles to the book of Jude. Now, this is a small book. It's only one chapter. It is the second to last book of the Bible. So if you go to the book of Revelations, just go back one page. Beginning in verse 20 here, Jude writes, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life." Now, Jude here provides only one command in these two verses. This is found in verse 21, "Keep yourselves in the love of God." The words building up, praying, waiting, they're all connected with this command. Now, let's begin this evening by examining this command together. To keep yourselves in the love of God requires active, dedicated involvement. Just like you don't become a Christian on accident, you don't remain in God's love on accident. It happens by design. The word keep means to cause a state, a condition, or activity to continue, to hold, to reserve, or to preserve someone or something. Now, the term keep, it carries the weight of value and significance. It suggests that whatever is being kept has inherent worth and importance. Can you think of what is most valuable in your life? The love of God is worth more than all the money in the world, more precious than any gold or diamond. The love of God is more precious than anything or anyone. It does not matter how much you own or how much you have. If you are not in the love of God, you really have nothing. However, if you are in the love of God, you have everything. His love is all that truly matters. So we need to make sure we're keeping ourselves deeply rooted in his love. Jesus explained clearly how this was done. In John 15, verse 10, he says, "If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love." Now, Jude says here to keep yourselves in the love of God. This word yourselves is plural. So Jude is telling us to keep ourselves individually, as well as to keep each other in the love of God. So how are Christians to accomplish this? How do we stay rooted in his love? For the rest of this lesson, we'll explore three actions which Jude instructs us to do that we may remain in God's love. Number one, we need to progress. Number two, we need to pray. And number three, we need to persevere. To progress is to build toward a goal or a higher level. To pray is to communicate with God. And to persevere is to persist in or to maintain a goal despite difficulty. Now, the first thing Jude tells us here in verse 20 is, number one, to progress. Jude says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith." Now, you notice here, once again, Jude uses the plural, building yourselves. The word for building translates to engage in a building process of personal and corporate development. To edify, to build up, or to build on. So we are to engage in the building up or the spiritual development of ourselves personally as well as corporately with each other. The second law of thermodynamics states that things left to themselves will go from order to disorder, from being valuable to being worthless. If you do not clean your house, it will not clean itself. It will continue to get worse unless you take action to clean it. As Christians, we must maintain an active lifestyle of spiritual progress that builds, that repairs, that strengthens ourselves and each other. We cannot progress without effort. Faithful attendance, Christian deeds, Bible study, and being actively engaged in helping others is the pathway to spiritual progress. The Word of God tells us how to build ourselves up. In 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 5, Peter writes, "For this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. The Word of God says we work on the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 22, Paul writes, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." And the Word of God tells us to put on the full armor of God. In the book of Ephesians, in chapter 6, beginning in verse 10, Paul writes, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God, so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day. And having done everything, to stand firm therefore, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." The importance of Christians working to grow, to build, to improve, is a continual and constant teaching within Scripture. The idea of one assuming individual responsibility is also common in Scripture. And there's an aspect of that individual element here. However, as mentioned earlier, Jude is commanding that we build each other up as well. Brothers and sisters, the fact is we need each other. I need you. You all need each other to help encourage one another, to keep each other accountable, to keep each other strong, and to love each other. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 3 and verse 13, we're told, "But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." Satan is hard at work to discourage each and every one of us, trying hard to cause us to depart from the faith, to isolate, to stray from the pack. And God knows there is great power in the Christian community, where his people rally behind each other, support each other, and offer words that build up and encourage. Jude says that this building up should be in the most holy faith. That means the Word of God. There is no encouragement greater than that which comes from the Bible. You cannot find a better way to encourage others than with the work of God. In 2 Timothy verse In 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 16, we read, "All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work." The Holy Word can produce a holy faith because it was given by a holy God. The love of God is the most precious thing that we have. Being in the love of God is worth far more than anything you'll find in this world. We cannot allow our faith to deteriorate. We cannot allow our fire for God to fade away. We must be active in fueling that fire with His Word and helping each other to stay on fire for God for the long haul. So we need to progress. Build yourselves up. Grow constantly in the fruits of the Spirit. Put on the full armor of God. Encourage each other. And keep your sword sharp and ready by reading His Word daily. Now, God's Word is His communication to us. And prayer is our communication to Him. And this brings us to the second action, which Jude explains will keep us in the love of God. Jude says, by praying in the Holy Spirit. Now, the words we say in prayer are indeed our communication to God. Yet the very act of praying, the time we take and the effort that we make, speaks volumes to Him as well. In prayer, the action of simply giving ourselves to it can be as powerful as the words that we say. However, we must be mindful of what we're praying for. Praying in the Holy Spirit means to pray in a way that is consistent with the will of the Spirit. It would be a holy prayer that is based on a holy faith. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15 tells us, "This is the confidence which we have before Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests which we have asked from Him." In Ephesians 6:18, Paul tells us that after you put on the full armor of God, we are to, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Praying for our own faith and the faith of others. Praying for our own spiritual growth and the growth of others. This would be in harmony with the will of the Spirit. Prayers filled with selfish requests. Give me more money. Give me a new truck. These do not embody the idea of praying in the Holy Spirit. Believers cannot stay in God's love without relying on Him through prayer. Prayer is crucial and powerful. Many great men of faith, men who were immersed in the love of God, they would deepen their relationship with Him through prayer. Jesus Christ prayed constantly. Paul began almost every letter with a prayer for the churches he served, and he ended most with a prayer as well. And King David wrote the book on prayer. We have 74 of the Psalms that we know for a fact were written by him. Faithful Christians pray, and they pray continually. In the stormy seas of this life, where we navigate every day, the wind lies to us and the waves push us in the wrong direction, prayer is our shelter through the storm. It guides us through the darkness, anchoring us securely in God's love. Surrounded by uncertainty, prayer becomes our refuge, bringing comfort, peace, and a steadfast assurance of His presence and protection. So we need to pray. Pray according to His will. Pray like Jesus. Pray continuously. Pray like Paul before and after everything. Pray like David. Give praise. Give thanks. Ask for wisdom. Trust. When you're hurting, lean on Him. And as you continue to strengthen your relationship with God by continually communicating with Him, by continually relying on His protection, His power, and His providence through prayer, you grow deeper in your dependence on Him. You grow stronger in your relationship with Him, and you grow more securely rooted in his love when you pray continually. So Jude is telling us we need to build ourselves up on our most holy faith. He says we need to pray in the Holy Spirit. And then Jude tells us we need to persevere. Jude says, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. This word, waiting anxiously for, this would be to look forward to. Now, what we're focusing on this evening is to keep yourselves in the love of God. And the way the text is broken down, Jude is telling us that waiting anxiously is going to help us to do this. So how does waiting for something help us to keep ourselves and keep each other in the love of God? How does waiting for something strengthen our relationship with him? If we're looking forward to Christ's return, or if we're anxiously waiting for his return, this would suggest the confident assurance that this promise will be delivered. There's a level of sureness, a level of trust that what is being promised here will be provided. You're so sure about it, you're excited. What we need is for this level of confidence, this excitement, to only strengthen and to never weaken. So I would suggest it's not the waiting part that strengthens us here, but it's how we wait. See, if the process of waiting is going to help keep us firm in the love of God, then this would not be a passive waiting. We can't just sit back, do nothing, and expect this to strengthen our position in the love of God. Part of keeping yourself in what is right is working to keep yourself out of what is wrong. In the book of 1 John, chapter 2 and verse 15, John tells us, "Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world." The world is passing away, and also its lusts. But the one who does the will of God lives forever. We cannot allow ourselves to be so in love with this world and the things that are in this world that we lose our focus and priorities. Has this ever happened to anyone else here? You get so busy with things in the world, you may begin to spend less time in your Bible, or you spend less time in prayer. And you don't even notice it first, right? Maybe you're working several hours on important things, right? Your work is requiring large amounts of your attention. Maybe you're working on a project, building a house, a boat, whatever it may be. After a time, you realize you're just not spending enough time with God anymore. And you ask yourself, how did this happen? Or even worse, you get to a point where your focus on this world becomes what is normal, and you completely forget about your closeness with God. During the waiting process, here in this world, we will have constant distractions, which are often hard to see in the moment. We will be tested in several ways, and we need to make sure we pass these tests. In James chapter 1, verse 12, James says, "Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him." While we wait, we need to pass these tests. And when we fall, we need to get back up, because what's being promised here is eternal life. Jude says we are waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. This whole being alive business is not really about this life at all. It's not about what we can see, what we can feel and taste here in this world. This life, this 100 years on earth, it's a vapor compared to being in eternity with God in perfection. What we're looking forward to is perfect comfort, perfect peace, perfect love in eternity. In Romans 8:18, Paul writes, "For I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us." As Christians, we should not be fearful for the end of this life. After this life is over, things only get better for the Christian. Life, with all the beauty of God and no lies of Satan. And we don't deserve it, right? We know that. We've done nothing to earn eternity in perfection. But God is so gracious, God is so merciful and loving, He is willing to freely give eternal comfort to those who have denied ungodliness and worldly desires. We read in the book of Titus, chapter 2, beginning in verse 11, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possessions, zealous for good deeds." Those who take their eyes off their future hope will find that their love for God is slowly evaporating, and it will be evident that their real love is for the things in this world. So while we're waiting, we must build ourselves up and pray. We must keep our love in Him, not the things in this world. We deny ungodliness. We deny worldly desires. We live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, and we must keep our hope rooted in eternity. Every time we overcome these trials, every time we pass these tests, we grow stronger in our obedience to Him. We grow deeper in our being accepted by Him. Every time we choose God over the things in this world, our state of being in the love of God is strengthened. Our roots grow deeper into His love, and we grow closer to Him. This command to keep yourselves in the love of God is of the utmost importance because our eternal destiny is in the balance. Each of us must ask ourselves, what am I doing right now and every day to ensure that I grow and stay faithful? The love of God is a precious gift, and we want to hold on to it as tightly as we can. Think of a marathon runner training for a race. The runner commits to a rigorous training schedule. He's gradually building up his endurance, getting stronger, getting faster. Now, they cannot skip training and expect to do well. Just as we cannot neglect our spiritual disciplines, studying scripture, attending worship, serving others. And during the marathon, the runner may face moments of exhaustion and doubt. He may want to give up. And in those times, he may think back on the encouragement from supporters and from their coach. We need strong communication with our God, relying on His strength and His help through the hard times by turning to Him in prayer. And the whole time, this runner is going to keep their eyes on the finish line. They're waiting anxiously for the moment they cross and complete the race. Despite the challenges and the obstacles, we press on toward the goal of eternal life with Christ. We must diligently train in our faith, continually communicating with God through His word and through prayer, keeping our eyes on the ultimate prize, eternal life with Jesus. Let us keep ourselves in God's love, persevering, dedicated, and striving to reach the finish line. And as we bring this lesson to a close, may we all remember, growing as a Christian is a marathon. It does not stop this side of heaven. We must continue constantly working to grow deeper in His love by progressing. We must maintain an active lifestyle of spiritual progress, faithful attendance, Bible study, helping others. Constant support from our brothers and sisters in the church plays a crucial role in preventing spiritual decline, building ourselves up in the Word of God. His Word helps us to get where we need to go. The love of one another, that we all may remain steadfast in God's love. We grow deeper in His love by praying in a way that is consistent with the will of the Spirit, praying through the directory, praying continuously for yourself and for others. In your regular Bible reading, add prayer before you read the Bible and then pray after. When you exercise, when you fellowship, when you work, when you play, invite God to be a part of all that you do. And we grow deeper in his love by persevering, by waiting anxiously for Christ's return. This involves confident assurance that his promises will be delivered. We keep our hearts rooted in the promise of eternal life to help us to stay rooted in God's love. We keep our priorities on heavenly rewards rather than worldly gain. And we prioritize his love over all else. This will help us to endure the trials of life, to pass these tests as they come, and to remain rooted in his love. Let us all love one another, encourage each other, and remain rooted in his love. May we all be found ready when the bridegroom comes, with our lamps burning brightly on fire for God. If you're not a Christian and you'd like to experience God's love and be a part of his family, we invite you to come, hear the word, believe in Jesus Christ, repent of your sins, confess your faith, and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And for those who are already Christians, if you feel you're outside of God's love or you need encouragement, prayers, or support, please come forward as we stand and sing.